with Peter Lynham. Hello, Peter, are you there?
I am here, yes, indeed.
Hello there.
And how are you going?
Not bad. Very good
on this lovely day.
Oh, it's yeah. So hot, isn't it? God.
It surely is.
Man, the last few days, damn.
Yes, that's right. Well, I'm madly out walking down the streets of Greyland, but that's all right. I can easily talk to you.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, last week we mentioned bells.
Yes, we did, and so I've had quite an enjoyable little dig around about bells. I actually turned out that I had written a section on bells in the book that I wrote called Sunday Best.
Mm.
How old, back in 2013.
Okay, so
that's right, because this spawned from me asking why there isn't any many gongs around. Like,
that's right, yeah, that's right. And so that raises a whole lot of interesting subjects, including a real mystery. Is the weirdest bell imaginable that's been the source of a great mystery.
We just lost you there for a second.
So it's even more of a mystery for us right now. Because
what's the weirdest bell?
So this bell is, you look it up on Wikipedia, look up the Tamil bell.
The camel bell.
Tamil, T-A-M-I-L.
Tamil bell.
So many, many years ago, right back in the early days of the missionaries in New Zealand, in the 1830s, William Colenso, one of the missionaries, who came to New Zealand in 1834, he found Maori people using what was in fact an upturned bell as a kind of a food container.
All right.
And when he looked closely at this bell, and when subsequently, he was a bit of an anthropologist at heart, when he looked closely at the bell, he found it covered with markings in an Indian script, in a Tamil script, in fact. Mm. And in fact, as people have subsequently realized, an ancient Tamil script. And so this is one of those curious artifacts, along with the Spanish cannon that was dredged up out of Tauranga Harbour, if I remember rightly, that, you know, seems to suggest that perhaps Indians had visited New Zealand back in the 15th or 16th century.
Have you heard of the phrase waka blonde?
No, but I kind of imagine what it means.
There's considered controversial history pre-Maori of New Zealand, of all sorts of people.
Yes.
And there is that lady that was on the cover of the Times tracing her heritage back to Persia. Really interesting stuff that I feel like New Zealand doesn't quite want to deal with. So.
Yes, well, I mean, I think, supposing we were to imagine that somehow or other it had been bought there by the original users of the bell, I mean, it would have to be pretty early, because the inscription of it is an ancient form of Tamil. So that would suggest that there had been an early trip. But of course, there may be other explanations.
Well, time keeps going back. That's the other important thing to remember.
Well, I suppose that's true. But another explanation is simply that somebody picked it up in India and brought it to New Zealand in the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem, you know, impossible.
No.
But until we can find some evidence one way or the other, it simply sits as one of those little mysteries.
I think there's actually a lot of evidence pointing towards earlier settling of this country, but it's really hard to talk about that stuff. Like, really difficult.
Yes, and the trouble is, you then construct a whole imaginary history on this.
You have to rethink a lot of stuff, and it's hard for a nation to do that, you know.
Well, it's not simply that. It's just that pieces of archaeological evidence need to be read against something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you need some kind of written or oral evidence of some earlier occupation, and that's what's far from clear.
Also, though, I think you're putting up stuff against things that have already been agreed on, already written in textbook.
Nobody wants
to invite that through the door, you know?
True, although there's been a lot of reconsideration of the dating of the first arrivals in New Zealand anyway.
There's a real interesting documentary called Skeletons in the Closet. Have you seen that?
I haven't, no, but I can imagine.
You might find it really interesting. Yeah.
Yes.
Is it specific to Aotearoa?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Aotearoa is a very interesting case because it is so isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it seems unlikely that these would be purposeful trips So that would just have to be people who stumbled onto New Zealand,
that's
which
right.
is not beyond the possibility.
Yeah.
But it's, you'd expect them to be some sort of records if they ever got back to where they came from.
Mm.
So anyway, that's the first, that's the oldest bell in New Zealand.
Wow.
But...
but technically wasn't being used as a bell at the time.
As the oldest pot.
Far from it, yes. So maybe that doesn't qualify. So therefore, we come to later bells. Well, pretty early on, the missionaries started creating very simple bells or buying them in from Australia to summon Māori to come to worship.
Okay.
And so the ringing of bells was...
Christianity?
Was quite,
Christian
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah. So these were Christian bells, and they were used to ring the hour of prayer, which in those days, because the missionaries were itinerating from place to place, might be a bit inconsistent from day to day.
Right.
So therefore, the bell was extremely useful. And so we have a few of those bells, but many more bells from the days when... churches began to be built as permanent locations, because once the church was there, you could put a church bell tower up,
right.
And that would give you a much better record of the sound. And so there's lots of examples. The most interesting one in Auckland is in Howick, in the very old All Saints Church in Howick, which was constructed in 1846, if I remember rightly. It was actually done as a kind of kit set taken across the channel from the present site of St. John's in Meadowbank over to Howick. Mm. And it was used so that when the troops were to be called, because these were the Irish troops, the navvies, who were brought in to be available as an emergency group of troops should there be any Māori attacks.
Wow.
And so then the church bell tower would ring a warning, and then supposedly everybody would jump into their uniforms and rush down to the church and prepare to defend Howick. And so there was this ring of towns around the south of Auckland that was established in the late 1840s, the early 1850s, to create a defensive corridor around Auckland. Those bells were quite significant.
Another good use for the bell, eh? Like, you know, warning. Double up on the bell. I feel like time has probably crushed the bell in the fact that...
everyone's got a watch or a phone now.
Well,
they don't need
that,
the church
also,
to say, come, it's time to come to church. Here's the bell.
Nobody respects the bell anymore either. They don't want to hear it. It's annoying.
That's
so there would have been one time where it was like, oh, the bell, yes, it's church time. Now it's like, oh, the bell, shut up.
These weren't, mind you, the real full carillon of bells, because a proper set of bells can actually ring a tune.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And for that
tune... The Auckland Art Gallery one pretty much does a little tune, doesn't it?
Yes. You need that can ring a partial tune, but what you need is...
Players.
A full set of an octave to be able to do that.
Yeah, and then you got to go. I actually watched a crummy little thing on people learning to do it as well. Like getting the, sometimes you need like three or four people to even play them.
Yes, that's right. And so St. Matthew's in Auckland has the, I think the only full set of bells, which was originally intended for the cathedral, but it never built a bell tower.
Okay. No gongs, though? You don't know any gongs sort of inside any temples anywhere?
In some of the temples, there are gongs.
Yes.
For example, the temple in... there's a very big gong in the temple in Flatbush, the Falguang Buddhist temple.
Okay, cool. Like so a big enough one that you can do that kind of like... Some of them you can like rub... You get the rub on the nipple and it starts to do like a... You can start to feel the wave coming. It's so powerful.
Yeah, that's right,
I recommend if anyone gets a chance. It's really, 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 really good for you, I think.
Yes. So there are a few of those bells, but there are town regulations so that the bells can't be heard too far away from the temple because people get annoyed. I mean, as early as 1961, I think, an Anglican church in St. Helier's was taken to court by Brian Rudman for disturbing his sleep by bells being rung at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Noise control.
I thought I was going to heaven.
Yeah.
That's right. And so most bells I mean,
I love how you outed his name. Was it, is it someone of significant, or you just remember the guy's name?
Well, he used to write a column in the Herald as well. Only says a person of the same name. I'm not sure it was the same person. But the agreement the court reached was that they had to muffle the bells.
And so
there are a few half pieces, but the really significant set of bells in New Zealand is not in the church at all. It's in the Hall of Memories in Wellington.
Excuse me, that hall one more time?
The Hall of Memories.
The Hall of Memories, John.
In front of it, they placed the unknown soldier there.
Wow.
And so this has got, it's now got, I think, 70 bells. So it's got a very rich range of bells.
Are they available. Different sizes and whatnot? And
Yes, each of them has a name.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting. You do often personalise bells with their own names. And these bells can ring, I think, 2 octaves and with different tones. And so you can get a full range of tunes.
Can you actually play the ones in the Hall of... Or is it just for like remembering the...
Oh, you need to be trained to be allowed to do it.
Oh, right. I did a set. I just thought it was a bunch of random bells. Okay, I see what's going on now. Okay.
No, well, see, proper bells had something like a keyboard. It also...
Oh, it's like a Rhodes piano.
They've got what's called a half carillon. And it can ring... And it's like a keyboard that... But you can play them, but they're very, very heavy to pull.
Oh, yeah, imagine.
I mean, bells are pretty difficult, and so the sequence can get very jerky without a bit of specialist training. So Christchurch Cathedral used to have the other full set of bells, but we know what happened to them.
What happened to them? Did they fish them out? Or
they were smashed to pieces.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Do they have just one question? Sorry. Yes. Tell us what happened to those bells. Do you know?
Well, they're going to be restored, and they will be put back in the bell tower, but there's a massive restoration, part of a huge $150 million job they've got ahead of them.
Now, I just wanted to ask, is there bells in the modern church? Say, if I cruise along to Brian Tamaki's joint, would there be a bell in there for me?
Okay. No, there's no...
Not even an electronic bell?
No, well, but you might have thought they would have conceived of this, but they probably think it has dubious pagan origins, and so they would disapprove of it.
Does the bell have pagan origins?
Yeah, there's a resonating tone
Of course, the bell has pagan origins, because the bell was to ward off spirits, and the tone of the bell was supposed to frighten the evil spirits who could not hear this pure sound that a bell was seen as.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Interesting
Holy
stuff.
Holy moly!
Another fantastic edition of That's a Spirit with Peter Lynham while he's walking down Ponsonby Road.
Hey, Peter Lynham, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to chat to you, mate. We'll speak with you next week.
Kia ora, mate.
Excellent. Bye-bye.